Hey, welcome back. It is the Phil Valentine Show. Glad to have you along. 1-800-618-PHIL. You know, I am so thrilled whenever we're vindicated on this show. When they first started doing all this ethanol subsidy with the corn and the rest of it, and I said, look, we need to think about the downstream consequences of what happens when you monkey with the market. When we start burning our food for fuel, then we're going to have some repercussions that we've never even dreamed of. And of course, we've seen that in some of these third world countries, we've seen food riots. Well, now the New England Complex Systems Institute identifies U.S. government ethanol subsidies and mandates as the cause of the skyrocketing food prices, contributing significantly to the civil unrest and violence in the Middle East as well as Africa. So we thought we'd bring on somebody to talk about this. Professor Yanir Barham is a founding president of the New England Complex Systems Institute. And I hope I got your name correct, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Phil. Good to be here.
Did I get close?
Yes, Barham.
Barham, okay.
That's fine.
So tell me about this. I mean, this is something that, you know, even me, I don't have any kind of scientific degree, but I can see the economy. I can see what people do. If you're shipping corn somewhere else for people to eat and all of a sudden you're diverting that for people to burn for fuel, naturally there's going to be less corn for food, and what is left is going to be higher in price.
That's right. And sometimes science is really helpful in confirming our intuition. It's really about the real world. It's not supposed to be too surprising in that sense. So the fact that you were anticipated the problem is a tribute to your intuition, and that's quite fine. So the way we analyzed it is, first of all, we saw the price peaks and realized, as you did, that there would be a problem with food riots. So what happened is in 2007-08 and 2010-11, there were major food price peaks. And so we started to look for the repercussions. So we just analyzed all the food riots and also the Arab Spring, and we put them on the timeline. And not surprisingly, they coincided with those peaks. There were 60 food riots in 2007-08, and in 2010-11, the Arab Spring just coincided with the price peaks.
And so we're looking now. There's a Reuters story today that says the first major snowfall of the year could be affecting the corn crop and soybeans. So, I mean, this is only going to make things worse.
Well, the drought, of course, caused a major problem this summer. We were anticipating a third price peak next year, well, the end of this year and next year, and instead the drought this summer kicked up prices, and basically we're having that peak now. So what we identified is sort of a price at which, you know, riots and revolutions, you know, are become quite likely, and we're basically sitting there right now. So when you hear about riots, as we've heard already at the, you know, last month, or there are still things going on, of course, now. This is a time when prices are high enough that almost anything will kick off problems, and that's what we've been seeing.
So what do we do about it? I mean, we end the subsidies, but that's not going to happen anytime soon, though, is it?
Well, the EPA actually has the right to waive the mandate, and they're right now in a consideration period. It's, I think, finishing next week. Where that you can give comment on the ethanol mandate, letting them know that you don't want them to have the mandate for this year. So they can stop the mandate for this year and presumably reduce the amount of corn going into ethanol. We need that corn, of course, to feed people around the world. In addition to the price being very high, the stocks, of course, are very low right now. That's been confirmed by the recent Department of Agriculture assessment. So if the mandate is waived for this year, that doesn't mean that it will stop all the corn being converted to ethanol. We may need some additional brakes being put on that. But it's the necessary step, because in the meantime, by government mandate, they have to continue producing the ethanol.
But would there be pushback from the farmers? Because they'd like this. I mean, you create a market more more of a demand for their product. I'm sure that the corn farmers are loving it.
Well, the corn farmers do in the meantime, as you say, love it. I mean, they appreciate the higher prices, surely, but even they have acknowledged that there is probably a need this year to address the food issue. Also, the meat farmers, the chicken and cattle farmers, they're experiencing a huge squeeze because their prices go up, and they have been reducing the herds because they can't afford to pay for the grain, and that's going to cause temporary. What's happened is they've reduced the herd, so that flooded the meat market earlier. But what that means is that both meat and milk prices are going to go up dramatically over the next few months.
Unintended consequences yet again, huh?
Absolutely. It's a very important thing to think through. I mean, one of the numbers that we have sort of been working with recently just to understand the impact, you take a gallon of regular gas, the ethanol is 10% of that gallon. That 10% ethanol is enough to feed, the corn that went into that is enough to feed a person for a day.
In the 1 gallon?
In the 1 gallon.
Good grief.
Exactly. And you could, if you take, you know, so if you take a regular tank of gas, 16 gallons, that's a family for a week, you know, kind of thing. It's a family for 5 days.
And then extrapolate that across the economy with everybody. You know, mine's a 20-gallon tank, and I'm filling up once a week, and some people are doing more than that. That's a lot of corn being diverted just to burn for fuel, isn't it?
Yeah. You're talking about 570 million people's worth of food going into gasoline.
But I've had some people, though, that are, and I'm, look, I make my own biodiesel on occasion for an old Mercedes that I have, so I have no problem with this kind of, I use vegetable oil. I'm not doing it because I think that I can save the planet. I'm doing it because I just want to see if I could do it, first of all, but it's cost me about 75 cents a gallon, which is a good thing, especially when gas prices are up around $4. But I have heard some of the people, because I go to some of these meetings with people that are into alternative fuels, and they say, Phil, you got to get the word out that no real corn is going into ethanol. And I'm going, what are you talking about? They say, no, it's only corn and corn stalks and things. Are they telling the truth?
No. It's, in fact, field corn, the corn that goes into ethanol, is the same corn that you eat for cereal in the morning. It's not what you eat for corn on the cob. That's sweet corn. But everything else that we make out of corn, cereals and corn muffins and corn bread and so on, all of the corn flour that's made can be made out of field corn. And corn oil and corn starch. So it's a real, it's a major part of the entire food supply system. The idea that you can use, you know, what's called cellulose, you know, refuse from the corn matter to produce ethanol is a dream. People are talking about it. They're working on the technology. It's not here today.
But it would be cool.
It'll happen in the future is not clear.
It would be very cool. I mean, we could use our grass clippings and everything else for fuel, but we are not there yet. But I don't even know how close we are to doing that kind of thing.
Well, to estimate how close we are, even when we're talking about corn itself, just the high energy part of corn, in order to make the ethanol out of it, we actually have to burn gasoline or we have to burn fossil fuels in order to make it. So we actually have to use about as much, believe it or not, we actually use about as much fossil fuel as is eventually in the energy of the ethanol just to make the ethanol.
So it's all a feel-good thing, though, isn't it?
You know, I mean, the reason that we're doing it is sort of, you know, people, I think, were fairly confused. I mean, this is why we have to go back and do the science. But, you know, people have done the analysis and shown that you really don't gain very much, if at all, from this process. The other thing may surprise people, and, you know, people may get up in arms about this, if nothing else. People claim that gasoline is cheaper because of ethanol. It's deceptive. It's because it's cheaper by the gallon.
Right.
But it's actually lower in energy.
Right, so you don't get as good a gas mileage out of it.
You don't get as good gas mileage. So, in fact, it's more expensive by gas mileage.
That's amazing.
So we're actually, everyone that's buying gas is subsidizing the ethanol conversion.
Well, so you think maybe Romney will stop this if he gets in?
You know, I stay away from the political side because I really have to focus on the science and make sure that we get the science right. I'll leave it to others to make decisions about who would be the one that would be better for this purpose. I will say that there's one thing that I would mention, if I can, in a somewhat careful way. The ethanol is a major contributor to the food price increase. And that is because people decided to go outside of markets in order to create the mandate and the subsidy and so on, which diverts us away from, you know, the normal functioning of markets. But there is another side which cuts the other way, which is that we've also shown that this speculation on commodity markets is actually driving prices out of equilibrium. And so the trust in the economic markets is also a problem. The science shows that a market, in order to function well, has to have basic structure. And sometimes people go too far and say, we should just leave the free markets alone. And that's also not the case. We do need a framework in which they function. And so what we have are two different kinds of processes that have happened, one of which is a government regulation, and one of which is government deregulation, and both of them have been very bad decisions and are causing the food system to go haywire.
Yeah,
and
well, the simple way to fix that, though, Professor, is with the folks who are speculating, is to have a regulation in there that at some point you may have to take possession of whatever you're speculating on. So keep that in mind. If the market drops out for it and there's not a sufficient people to buy it from you, we're going to bring it to your house. I think that would stop a lot of this speculation.
Yeah, I think I'm sure that if they had a ton of corn delivered to their doorstep, they would think twice.
Yeah, or 50,000 barrels of oil sitting in their backyard, you know. So, all right, well, good. Well, is there a website people can go to and learn more about this subject?
Sure. Our website is... it's the initials of the New England Complex Systems Institute. So it's NECSI and .edu.
Just think of CSI like the TV show, but it's in New
exactly.
England. NECSI.edu?
That's right. And one of the things that is really helpful in looking at this stuff is we have a figure that just shows the timing of the food riots and the timing of the Arab Spring superimposed on the food prices. And that just really helps focus attention on what's going on. We are right now in the danger zone, and so we're just trying very hard to have people be aware of this problem because action really needs to happen. We've seen how our security, national security is really hurt when we have riots and revolutions all over the world. We are concerned that more is going to break out, and that's on top of the fact that we really, as you started out, we shouldn't be burning food when people don't have what to eat.
Right.
And there's a lot of suffering going on in the world that we should be doing something about.
And there's enough unrest in the Middle East anyway without us having to contribute more to it by depriving people of food or food at a market price. Professor Yanir Bar-Yam, the website necsi.edu for the New England Complex Systems Institute. Professor, appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Quick timeout. Going to be back in a moment. 1-800-618-PHIL. Back in two.